in some form. It could be youth ministry, it could be preaching. We'll see where God leads him on that. But it's our special guest to have John here tonight. John, can you hear us okay?
Yes, can y'all hear me?
And there you are. It's all yours.
Awesome, thank you. So I'm super excited to be doing this. I think this is really cool. One, because it's so different than anything I've done before. I've never been one of those Zoom haters where, you know, a lot of people don't like Zoom, probably because of how it got introduced with the pandemic and all that. But I've always liked it. It's pretty cool. I like video chatting. And I'm also interested in this because of what Mr. Zach said about what y'all are doing, listening to people associated with Christian universities or college students or people that are in this stage of life. It's a pretty weird stage. And it's, I think there's a lot to it. So there's a lot that you can gain out of it. There's a lot of change that goes on in your life. And it's a pretty interesting thing. Tonight, I'm going to talk about me a little bit. I'm going to talk about my experience at Faulkner, but this isn't just going to be a promo for Faulkner. I'm not just going to tell you why it's the best school on the planet and that everyone should go there. It's not just going to be that, just a little bit of that. But I want to talk about a message or a lesson that I got out of being here, or something that I learned in my life from making this decision and this choice to be at Faulkner and doing what I'm doing now. The reason why is because high school me or younger me would never expect that on a Sunday evening I would be preaching through Zoom to a congregation that I interned for the summer before. High school me never would have thought that I would even be a youth intern somewhere or a college intern somewhere, because that's what I am here on campus. I'm a college intern at the church on campus. Or high school me never thought that I would go on to be a preaching intern somewhere. So it's a pretty cool idea that I'm thinking of and what we're going to be talking about. And it's the idea of running with the right crowd. You probably see it in your bulletins or something that you saw the title of this, that I'm going to be talking about running with the right crowd. And usually this message is something that we try to stress towards teenagers, something that we try to stress towards younger people. But I think that it's something that should be taken into account all of your life. It's something that can make a huge difference on the person you become. And it's something that can really dictate where your life ends up heading. And I think it's something that we shouldn't just focus on when we're young, but something that everyone can get a message out of. It's something that it's a daily choice. Who you're going to associate yourself with, who you're going to let be your peers. And the reason why that's so important to me is because the difference in my crowd in high school versus the difference in my crowd now has made a gigantic difference on my life, on where I'm headed, on what I value, on who I am as a person. So I want to talk about running with the right crowd. The first thing I want to say about that is that it's a daily decision. It's not one of those situations where you make a decision about it and that's what it is for the rest of your life. And sometimes it seems like that because you pick your friends and then those people end up sticking around for a while, hopefully. But the reason why is because you decide to pick those people every day. There's some times where you can have a group of friends and then you look later on down the road and realize, where did those people go? Well, what happened was y'all stopped choosing each other. Y'all stopped being a part of the same crowd. So I'm hoping that by the end of this, you'll see a little bit about how great Faulkner is, but you'll see more of picking the right crowd and what that means, how you can do that, how I can do that, how you can teach maybe your kids to do that, and how everyone can learn what a difference it can make to pick the right crowd. There's a story in the Bible. It's in 1 Kings 12. I have it pulled up next to me. It's a story of Rehoboam, and we probably know a little bit about him. We probably heard his name before if you don't know his story. But we know a lot more about his father. His father is King Solomon. We all have heard of him and know his story. And we know that King Solomon is known to be the wisest person ever, right? We know that when God asked him, out of everything in the world, what does he want? He asked for wisdom to lead the people of Israel better. And that's something that's admirable, right? We love that about Solomon. And most of Solomon's life, we know he made a few mistakes, but most of his life is something that a lot of people would look up to. He made a lot of good decisions. He was a relatively good person, someone that a lot of people could look up to. So his son is who we're going to be talking about. His son is Rehoboam. Rehoboam was the king after Solomon, obviously. And Rehoboam was faced with a decision. He was faced with a decision that we all have to make, and he was having to choose his crowd. Someone walked in. He was having to choose his crowd. And the way that that worked was he was approached by his father's counsel. So the wisest person ever, who was Solomon, had a council of people that he would go to for advice, that he would consult on decisions or every king had their counsel. So you imagine that the wisest person ever, that person's counsel was probably pretty wise, right? We imagine that they would probably know what's best for the nation. And then on the other hand, he had a group of people that the Bible says were his peers growing up, that grew up with him. And they were young. They were not as wise. And on the surface level, if you've heard this before, you've probably heard, on the surface, why one group was good and one group was bad. A lot of times we say because the other group was older and more experienced, and then one group was younger and less experienced. And there's merit to that. There's merit to the fact that yes, the older you are, the more wise you become, hopefully. And there's a lot more that you can learn from people that have more experience in life. But I think that the reason why one crowd was right over the other was more than just age. It was more than just experience. It was more than that. It was their hearts, the heart of the crowd. And I think that's what I want to stress us looking for, is what is that crowd's heart like? So the first crowd, the older crowd, the more experienced people, their heart was aimed towards the betterment of God's people, while the other group's heart was aimed towards pride and power and maybe popularity. And then you look at our own lives and you realize that there's a connection there between which crowd you're going to choose. And it seems easy to say, oh, well, I'll definitely choose the side that is aimed towards God. But then, and I don't think sometimes we don't give Satan enough credit, but he's really good. Satan is really good at making that other crowd, that selfish crowd, the prideful crowd, making them look like they have more love for you. Making them look like they view you as, well, they ask this question when they're viewing you, what can this person give me? And that's how we approach relationships sometimes. That's how we approach our crowd, is what can they give me? And then that is sending you down the road towards choosing the wrong crowd. So which crowd are you going to choose? I think it's a pretty interesting thought to think about, especially for people that are adults already, is that, after you have a wife and kids, or maybe even grandkids, you're still having to make this choice on who you're going to let influence you. Are you going to let people that care more about your soul than they care about their own pride? Are you going to let those people influence you, or are you going to let the people who only care about themselves, or the people that only care about making your life fun? And while that doesn't sound bad, I think that the crowd that cares more about your spirituality, the crowd that cares more about your zeal for God, that's the right crowd. And I want to make another point about looking for the right crowd, that, you know, it's not just a daily decision. That's true, it is. But there's something before making that decision. And it's that in order to find the right crowd, you have to be the right crowd. And that goes for all ages. That goes for any person that can read the Bible and hear the voice of God in it. It in order to find the right crowd, you have to first be the right crowd. And I'll keep it pretty short, but I'll end just by saying what this will look like. If you have your Bibles, flip to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians 6, the first couple of verses says, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted." And then verse 2 says, "Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." So you have to be the right crowd. And that's what this looks like. It's bearing one another's burdens. It's being there for each other in a way that shows that you care about that person's spiritual life. You care about that person's relationship with God. And being the right crowd involves loving someone in a way that shows them Christ. It involves not looking for a crowd or a group of people for what they can give you, but looking for a people that you can shower God's love onto while they do the same for you. And you can bear one another's burdens. Some of Jesus's last words to his apostles in the upper room, John 13, he said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, you also love one another. And by this, all will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. By the love that you show, everyone will know what crowd you run with. Everyone will know that you run with the right crowd, and you will have the reputation of someone that loves people genuinely, that loves people dearly, that loves people because that's what Christ did. And with me being at Faulkner, I'm not gonna promo it or anything, but I've learned this message. I've learned what it means to have a group of people that, you know, sometimes they're your age, sometimes they're older. I have plenty of people that are much older and more, I guess, seasoned Christians. That's a nice way of saying it. I have plenty of those people in my life that at Faulkner are helping me run towards God. They are the right crowd. And then I have people my own age that we all get together. We all get together every Tuesday night. We have a Tuesday night Devo, and it's all students in there, and we just worship every week at 10 o'clock on a Tuesday. And there's people here that bear your burdens with you and that love you the way that Christ loved church, the way that Christ loved us. And it's wonderful. And what I want to say is that, you know, at Faulkner, that's the case. And I'm sure at other Christian schools, that's the case too. But that's not a thing that's unique to Christian schools. That's not a thing that's unique to school in general. But there is a right crowd out there everywhere. Whether you go to the military or you just work, whether you are a stay-at-home mom, or whether you're a student in an elementary school or a middle school or whatever, there is a right crowd out there. A crowd of people that want you, no matter what, and more than anything else, to chase God with them, to bear your burdens with you, to love you, to help lift you up, and to help you get to heaven. And there's a crowd out there that needs you to do the same for them. There's a crowd that is chasing God and needs you to help them do it. So I'll end by saying this. And he said to offer an invitation. So I'll end by saying this. If you have not been running with the right crowd, it's not too late. And I'm not just saying that because it's a cool way to end a lesson, but it's never too late to turn your back on what you've learned to be incorrect and chase God. It's never too late to make the decision to be a follower of Him. It's never too late to join the right crowd. So if you need to make that decision tonight, or you need to talk to someone, or you need prayers for rekindling that fire in your heart to be in the right crowd, if you need anything at all, you can come forward as we stand up and as we sing.